The Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be familiar with these old sayings, too many cooks spoil the soup, or too many chiefs and not enough Indians. That's what the Lord's telling us today in the gospel. The most amazing thing that we human beings think about ourselves, and when you think about it, it's utterly foolish, but we do it all the time. We think we can give God advice to help the Lord do his job better. We do it every day. "Lord, can you give me good weather for this?" Or, "Lord, can you cut me some slack for this?" I mean, we do it all the time. "Lord, I think that you misinterpreted what you needed to do here." We do it all the time. We give God advice. And of course, the Lord, being all gracious and merciful, except in the book of Job, God got after Job in the Old Testament and said, "Now, wait a minute, Job. Were you around when I was making all this up?" "Well, no. Didn't I make you up?" "Well, yeah. So you think you can tell me, who knows every single part of you, the whole plan of the cosmos, what I need to do?" And of course, we say, "Absolutely, Lord. You don't know my life like I know it, Lord." Oh, he knows it in and out. He knows what's going to happen before we even do. And yet we do. We have this boldness, or I guess the word foolishness, to say, "Lord, you just don't understand my situation here." I got to laugh because I do. Everyone does it every day. We give God advice. And it's strange. You know, it's like this. There's a wonderful psalm that goes like this: "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." That's what Samuel was told to say. Our response is, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking." And I'm sure God is saying, "I know, I know, I know." He hears it all. Doesn't have call waiting. Doesn't have a pause button. He doesn't disconnect us. He hears it all. And in his great mercy, he puts up with us. That's exactly what has happened in the gospel. Peter got it right last week. He absolutely got it right. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." And you know, usually when we get something right, we get a little full of ourselves. "I know something. I'm on a roll." Well, he was on a roll, but unfortunately that was rolling down and not up, because after he said, "You are the Messiah," and Jesus said, "You didn't come to this by your own reasoning, God revealed it to you," Jesus goes a step farther and said, "You know, the Son of Man will be handed over by the Pharisees. He will be crucified, and on the third day he will be raised." And Peter says, "Time out here, Lord. I'm one for one. I'm going to go for the long one here," and I say, "You don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. That's never going to happen." And Jesus' response is, "Get behind me. Don't try to be leading me around. You need to be following me." That's the great sin of human pride. And we all have it. And that absolute foolishness has been on grand display this past week. Actually, more than this past week. For a long period of time. Now, a politician last Sunday decided to say, you know, the Catholic Church never always said abortion was wrong. And I thought, what an idiot. That's what I thought. I didn't. Of course, I've said it now. I'll do penance for it. But she is an idiot. I'm sorry. She might be a wonderful politician, but that doesn't qualify her to speak on matters of the faith. And since she brings in St. Augustine, which she probably heard at a cocktail party, I'm sure she really has studied St. Augustine. Oh, no, of course. And then on one of these talk shows, which I always try to avoid, you know, the pundit shows at night, but there's been nothing on. And so, okay, so I listen to it, and they bring on some expert, politician, who says, you know, when you think about Jesus and his message, Jesus would actually be pro-choice today. Another time, all for crying out loud. Idiot number two, Tweedledee and Tweedledummer. There we go. And you're thinking, how can people say this? It's very clearly seen, for human beings, we do not make the truth. We discover the truth. Peter discovered the truth when he said Jesus is the Son of God, and he got that right. But now he decides to say, I know the truth, and I'm going to determine it for myself. So Jesus, you're going to play by my rules. And we do that just as much as any legislator does. We're going to want to justify our position, not come as someone to let the Lord teach me. Lord, let me teach you a thing or two. And we see where it gets us, because Jesus tells us all of this stuff of trying to lead God is all about one thing, avoiding the cross. How do we avoid the cross today? You have a child, all of a sudden you disguise in the womb, you know, the child has a handicap of some kind. Remove that cross. Abort the child. You have someone who's elderly and suffering from a terminal disease. How do you get rid of that cross? Euthanize them. And think about all the things we deal with every day, the smaller situations that we face when we're confronted with the truth in a real situation, when we have to know what is right and we blow it. And the Lord says, you can't avoid the cross. The cross is a part of life. And he goes so far, one of the great lines in Scripture is this. What profit is there to gain the whole world and lose your soul? And we see a lot of people losing their soul for profit in this world. Profit which has gone with an oil speculator just sneezing. Boom, there goes their profit. It's like Gomez Adams and the Adams family looking at the figure. I just got a million. Oops, just lost a million. Yeah, we put all our trust in this material stuff, failing to recognize it's not the big issues. Jesus is telling us the big issues that in life, life has suffering in it. It's not how God created it. It's the result of our sin. And as we try to serve the Lord, as we try to do what is true, we're going to encounter suffering. We're going to encounter persecution. It's going to be a hard road. But the only way for us to achieve our goal, and our ultimate goal is heaven. We often forget that goal, and we think instead in terms of convenience or temporary pleasure or getting something off our back. We think about the small goals, and we lose sight of that big goal, which is to go to heaven, to be with Christ. And for none of us, it is a lock. Every morning, I think, am I taking a step closer to heaven or hell today? Hopefully heaven. But I'll settle for purgatory and pray that someone will pray me up. Hopefully there'll be somebody. But the Lord is so clear on all this for us. We cannot avoid the cross. We cannot avoid suffering. It's not something we go looking for because we know we don't have to go looking for it. It's going to find us. Suffering is intimately connected with love. If we're going to people who love God, who love our families, who love our country, who love one another, who even go as far as to love our enemies, it's going to entail suffering. It's going to entail self-denial, because we know in our hearts that we are far from the finished product. We have a long way to go. And that way can only be covered with the stations of the cross. Knowing we're going to fall one or two or three times. Knowing we're going to have the Blessed Mother along the way to console us and help us. Knowing that there's going to be difficulties and challenges. But also knowing that at the end there's going to be real life. And there's going to be a discovery of who we are and what we have. Because very few people discover who they are when they have success. People discover who they are when they have crosses and when they have hardships. That's when our character is measured. That's when our character is revealed. And the Lord says to be a Christian means we cannot run from that cross, our own or anyone else's. We got to have the weight of it. And that weight is going to help us measure where God's truth is and what he carried for us and carries for us and what we need to carry with him and what he lightens in our hearts and in our souls by him carrying our crosses with us. He gives us so much hope. He's always in the front. He says, get behind me. He's telling us Christ must lead. He knows where he's going. And if we want to get where we need to be, we're going to have to follow him. We have to follow him to Calvary. We have to follow him through sacrifices. We have to follow him sometimes through humiliations. We have to follow him in the midst of sometimes looking foolish in the sight of the world. By simply saying that I am a Christian and I love God and I know the truth and I don't make the truth, I have discovered it and I must live it every day, and in that truth is the cross. But in that truth is also the resurrection, because what holds those two things together is God's unending, merciful, powerful, ever-creative love. And that's the love that we come to receive today. The Lord is telling us something every time we come. We hear his word in sacred scripture. And then we're going to receive his body and blood. We're going to receive him. And in him find that strength. And in him know that if he didn't run, if God himself did not run from the cross, a cross which he did not deserve, a cross which he didn't earn, he took it on for us, then even the greatest cross we carry is little in the eyes of Christ. Because in it we find out, as I said, who we are. But more importantly, we find out our strength is not our own. It's far from our own. Our strength will give out in a New York minute. Our strength must come from Christ. Our strength comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit shaping us every day more and more in the image of Jesus Christ. So let us take the Lord's words to heart today. Let us be followers of Christ. And if we're going to lead, let's lead people to Christ. And let us not take so seriously the powers of this world as something that we need to possess. But rather, let the power of the world to come. Let the grace of the Holy Spirit possess us. Let the body and blood of Jesus Christ possess us and shape us. And if we'll do that, then we know that Christ will always be ahead. We will never lose sight of him. And if we never lose sight of him, we'll always live life. We'll live Christ. And we'll live it all the way to the heaven, to the kingdom of God, which he's promised all of us who simply follow him.